If you all would rise, we're going to start off with number 440. Number 440. Hold on just a sec. I think I need the pad this morning. Kind of humid, warm here. Number 440. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. 'Tis so love to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me, meet the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and from sin and self to cease. Now from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that he is with me. He'll be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's so good for us to be here today. We thank you for this beautiful day you've given us and for these wonderful people that have come here to the house of God to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray today that as we look into the Word of God, that you, through your Holy Spirit, will speak to our hearts and feed us from the Word of God, that we might grow spiritually into that mature Christian that will bring joy and happiness and be fruitful in your vineyard for you. We thank you for your blessings, and we pray for those that are sick, unable to attend our services today, that your grace will be sufficient for them. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And want to welcome all of you to our services today. Good to see you. And we're going to start off. Today's our communion day too. Amen. And we're going to start off with a Bible reading. Who's got a Bible reading for us? All right.
Morning. We're going to read from Romans chapter 8, and we're going to commence reading verse 22, Romans 8, 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he to condemn? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are called all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, not height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Amen. And I got to get a bigger Bible. I can't see these words.
In that same vein, we're going to sing Under His Wings, number 357. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And that's what Brother Roger was just reading about that. So, number 357.
Under his wing I am safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wild. Still I can trust him, I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am his child. Under his wing, under his wings, who from from his love can sever. Under his wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under his wing, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth has no balm or healing, there I can comfort and there I am blessed. Under his wing, under his wing, who from his love can sever? Under his wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under his wing, oh what a precious enjoyment, there will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Amen. Would you all rise, please, and we'll sing our offering hymn, which is number 521. 521. Would you all stand, please?
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Roger, will you lead us, please, in prayer? This time we'll ask our ushers to come and we'll pass out the elements of communion to you. This is the first Sunday of the month, and we appreciate Brother Roger and Linda preparing the Lord's Supper for us. They're so faithful in doing that. They deserve an awful lot of credit. And today we're going to do it just a little bit differently. I'm going to ask them if they will to, at this time, take the bread and pass it out to you, and you hold on to it until we get ready and we'll all take it at one time. All right. So, gentlemen, if you will, just go ahead and we will be reading this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles there to follow. And of course, for the reading of this, we will mentally transport ourselves back a couple of thousand years to that time when Jesus met with his apostles in the upper room. He was there to observe the Passover with them. And after the Passover meal was finished, then they had what we call the Lord's Supper, our communion. And we'll be reading about what happened next in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writes here, saying that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And here we are 2,000 years this side of Calvary, and we're still doing it in remembrance of him. This is my body. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the wonderful gift of your grace that you gave Jesus, your only begotten Son, to be the bread of life to us. And we do this today remembering the crucifixion of Jesus' body on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for the love, the dedication to you, for the divine purpose for which he came into the world, to die for our sins. And we thank you that through the symbolism of eating this bread today, we are partaking of Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And we remember it and we give you thanks for it in his blessed name. Amen. This scripture says, continuing on here, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. Now, testament and covenant are the same thing. God made a covenant with Abraham. He has made a covenant with us, with his church. And this is the seal. The blood of Christ is the seal of that covenant, the testament that he has made. He said, the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, we take this cup this morning, and certainly we do it in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself a sacrifice for our sins. And we know that it is his blood that was shed on that old rugged cross that makes atonement for our sins. And that same blood that was shed was taken into the heavenly Holy of Holies and sprinkled on the mercy seat in your very presence. to make everlasting and eternal atonement for our sins. And we take this cup today in remembrance of Christ's death, the shedding of his blood, for which we give you eternal thanks. Amen. Now, if Brother Johnny has a song for us, we'd like for him to come and sing. And we're looking forward to another song that Karen is going to sing for us one of these days. A song that her mother wrote, and she sang it to me this morning, and I enjoyed it, appreciated it, and I want all of you to hear it. And we're going to have her sing that for us soon. Next Sunday, this next Sunday now, remember we've got a guest speaker at our 11 o'clock service, Brother Irv Rifkin with Friends of Israel is going to be back with us. We try to get him out here every year. We're usually successful, and he's always a blessing to our congregation. So he'll be here next Sunday morning preaching for us. So advertise that and tell people and get them out, and let's fill up the auditorium to hear Brother Irv, okay? All right, Brother Johnny.
Good morning, everyone. You know, there may be someone here this morning whose heart is troubled, the trials you're going through, you seem like you're about on your own, you're by yourself. Family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, whoever, turned their back upon you and left you to yourself. But I ask you this morning to hold on, because there's one who loves and cares about you very much, and he will never leave you nor forsake you to yourself. Please.
When the rise to love, and you're just not sure enough. Jesus, His love will never change. Sure as a steady rain. Jesus is be there. For when no one else is true, He'll still be loving you. And when it looks like you lost it all, and you haven't got it, Jesus will still be there. Jesus will still be there. And love will never change. For through as a steady rain, Jesus will still be there. When no one Jesus will still be there. Now when you look like you lost it all, and you haven't got a prayer, your Jesus will still be there.
My friend, he'll never leave. He'll never leave you, dear brother. Hold on. Hold on.
Wonderful. Just a word about Artie Byrne. Artie is back home, but I don't know if her travels had anything to do with it or not. She went all the way over to the East Coast. Over there, North Carolina, Virginia, someplace. She has a sister over there that had a 100th birthday. Isn't that something? Boy, 100 years old. But anyway, Artie has been kind of under the weather. She thinks, she hasn't talked to the doctor yet about it, but she's going to tomorrow. She thinks that she may have some inner ear problems, because it makes her unsteady on her feet and dizzy and all of that stuff, which is not healthy. And so keep her in prayer, will you? I talked to her yesterday evening, and wait just a minute, I'll turn this off. We're out of batteries on it. We sang that song a little while ago, Under His Wings, and the reason why I imagine that that was put in there was because that's the title of my message from Psalm 91 this morning. Psalm 91, Under His Wings.
Pastor?
Yes.
Do you need batteries for that?
Yeah. I don't know if there's any in there in my desk drawer or not. Do what? Psalm 91. I was reading where way back yonder in the year 1892, a fellow by the name of D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, Dwight Moody, had been preaching over in England. He went over there for a revival meeting, and people were getting saved, and he preached over there for an entire year. And they had a wonderful evangelistic services, and he was returning to the United States on a ship. They didn't have airplanes flying back in 1892, so he was on a ship. And the ship was 3 days out, and they had trouble. They had a broken drive shaft on that thing, and it stopped out there, dead in the water. And that was just part of the problem. It started sinking, started taking on water. And it was a passenger ship, and there were lots of passengers on there who were getting scared to death, you can imagine. They were desperate. They stayed on that sinking boat for 2 days. And finally, Mr. Moody went to the captain of the ship, and he says, "Captain," he said, "I would like to hold a service for all of the people on board this ship that would like to attend." And the captain was ready for that too. So they had a meeting. And most all the passengers on board that ship were present. And Moody opened his Bible, and he read this 91st Psalm to all of those people on that desperate ship. He later wrote about the event, and he said, and I quote, "It was the darkest hour of my life. Relief came in prayer. God heard my cry and enabled me to say from the depths of my soul, 'Thy will be done.' I went to bed and fell asleep almost immediately. And God did deliver them. There was another ship that came, hooked onto them, and towed them into port." And Moody discovered, he said, and you and I must also discover, that the safest place on earth is in the shadow of the Almighty under His wings. I would like for us to see three things about it. But read the first verse there. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Let's point out first of all here that it is a secret place, he tells us. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Now, what does it mean when he says down here in verse 4, "under His wings"? I read that and I say, well, that's a symbolic language because God doesn't have wings. At least I don't think He does, do you? I believe this is referring to the way that a mother hen gathers her little chickens under her wings. I was raised, we had chickens running all over the backyard, and if a mother hen is out here with her little chicks, and there's a big chicken hawk that starts sailing around up here in the sky, you know what? That mother hen will call her little chicks to her, and she'll spread her wings like that, and they'll get in there as close to their mother's side as they can, and she'll put her wings down over them and squat down outside the yard and cover them. They do that to protect their young from danger. I remember hearing a fellow talking one time about a mother hen who got caught with her flock of little chicks out in the yard, and a hailstorm came along. Hail, there was no protection that she could find. She called her little chickens to her, and they all huddled up next to her body under her wings. And she protected them from the hail. And after the storm was over, the farmer went out, and he saw this hen there with her wings spread out. And he went over there and found out she was dead. He put his toe of his foot under her body and flipped her over, and the little chicks ran everywhere. They'd been protected under her wings. And this is what God is talking about here. If you'll remember that Jesus used this over in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. This is the time when he stood yonder on the Mount of Olives and he looked out over the city of Jerusalem. And he cried, tears running down his cheeks. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee or thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings. But ye would not. Ye would not." But this is also talking about another set of wings. Where is that secret place of the Most High? Where do you suppose it is? There's only one that I know of in the Bible, and that's in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, and of course later on in the temple. You'll recall that when Moses was given the pattern for the tabernacle from Mount Sinai, that it was divided into three parts when it was built. It had the courtyard with the linen fence around it. And in the courtyard, that's the place where the sacrifices were offered. And then you go into the building of the tabernacle itself, and there in that first room was what they called the holy place. That's where the priest ministered by the seven-branched candlestick and the table of showbread over here and the golden altar of incense in front near the veil. The priest ministered there in that place, and finally, going behind the veil, into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, that's where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And the Ark of the Covenant was kept there on the lid or the covering of the Ark, which was called the mercy seat. And there were two cherubim, one at either end of that lid. They were facing one another, and their wings were reached out like this to where they were touching one another at the middle of that mercy seat. And there on that mercy seat was where the blood of the Passover lamb that made atonement for the sins of Israel was sprinkled by the high priest once a year under his wings. You see it? The mercy seat we're talking about. Now, that's the Holy of Holies, and the shadow of the Almighty is under the wings of the mercy, of the cherubim on the mercy seat. And the Old Testament days, only the high priest of Israel was allowed to go into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. And he could only go in once a year with the blood of atonement. But you know, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, it tells us that outside Jerusalem, when Jesus was crucified on the old rugged cross, that inside Jerusalem, inside the temple, inside the holy place, an invisible hand came down from heaven and rent that veil that separated the people from God. And the way into the Holy of Holies was made accessible, available to every man, woman, boy, and girl who had the faith to enter in. We can today enter into that veil that was rent. We can come boldly to the throne of grace, and there we can find grace to help in time of need. Just think of that. You and I are privileged to visit the Holy of Holies, but not just to visit, we are invited to live there under the shadow of his wings, spiritually that is. Are you living on that most holy altar? Are you living in the presence of the shed blood? Are you living under the shadow of the Almighty? It's possible for us today to do that. We don't just simply make occasional visits into the presence of God. We're invited to dwell there, to live there because of Christ. So the safest place in the world is there in the presence of God. We're better protected there than we would be if we had the most elite armies of the world guarding us. But not only that, it is also safe. You talk about safety, that's it. God has made some marvelous promises here to those who dwell in his presence under his wings in the Holy of Holies. He promises divine protection. You have that today. Our president, the leaders of other nations, have a Secret Service group that follows them around to protect them. Night and day, they're never without protection. But you and I have a greater protection than that. Now, that does not mean that Christians will never experience accidents. That does not mean they will never get sick, because they do. That does not mean that they will never experience sorrow and grief, because they do. God does not promise to keep us from these trials, but he promises to be with us and keep us when we are in these trials. He shows himself strong on our behalf. Now, the dangers of life may hurt us, but they cannot harm us. We can claim God's promise that all these things, thank you, Roger, for reading that, that all these things work together for our good and for God's eternal glory. They're working for us, not against us. Here in verses 10, in this psalm, he says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I've been a little bit nervous lately about this new disease. It's not really new, but it's deadly, and so many people have died from it, that Ebola. It's isolated now in one part of the world. But we have people who are bringing people who have that disease right into the heart of the United States of America. A disease for which they have no cure. A disease that is as permanent as a bullet in the brain. It's deadly. And if that gets loose in our country, I fear that a plague such as that would wipe out half, maybe all, all of the people in our country. That's the possibility. Now, God says, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Angels, plural. Angels, more than one. More than one. You haven't seen them, have you? But they're there. I just wonder sometimes about the hereafter. When we get to heaven, are we going to be able to find out just how many times, in how many different ways, God's protective angels have overshadowed us and kept us from mortal dangers? We think nothing of getting in an automobile and driving 80 plus miles an hour out here on the freeway. And we're just sitting there enjoying ourselves, listening to music, looking at the countryside and such as that, not thinking that we are in this projectile that at any moment could have a blowout or something like that and send us tumbling down the road. And then the corner is the next step. God's angels watch over his people. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Did you recognize that? Does it sound familiar? That sounds like a verse that the devil quoted to Jesus when the devil took Jesus and put him up way up here on the pinnacle of the temple at Jerusalem and told him, jump off. Remember that? Yeah, that's the scripture he used. He said, go ahead, Jesus, jump off, because your Father has said that his angels will catch you before you hit the ground. course, Jesus didn't. He had better sense than to do that, didn't he? Yeah. Anyway, our modern scientific world today is much like the Sadducees of old. They laugh at the idea of angels. They don't believe in the supernatural, miracles, and things like that. But not the child of God. Jesus taught us that the angels of God watch over his children. Now, they don't run ahead of us and pick up the stones out of our path, but they just watch and see that we don't stumble over them. Because sometimes those stones, they teach us to depend on the Lord. They're stepping stones, not stumbling blocks. Now, like in Jesus' case, having his angels watching over us is not an encouragement to us to be careless or to tempt God, but it's an encouragement to us to worry less about what's going on. You know, I have some funny beliefs. I guess one of my funny beliefs is I believe a person is immortal in the will of God until his work on this earth is completed and finished and done. We don't know what it is or when it's going to come about. But we know that God has a plan and a purpose for each individual life. And when our work is done, what do? You go home. When the whistle blows, you go home. We may not think it's finished yet, but God does. He's the one in charge. In the will of God, there is divine protection that gives a person peace in his heart, no matter how trying his life may be. Under his wings, abiding in Christ, is where we can be the safest in the storms of life. Now, let me caution you. We do not run into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, simply to escape or hide from life. I know there are times when it gets difficult. I know there are times when we would like to just dig a hole and get in there and pull it in there for us. But we go in to the presence of God for strength and for help. And then we go back out to live and do his will. Divine protection is not simply a luxury vacation resort to enjoy. It is a necessity that we want to share with others. God's protection is preparation for his service. We go into God's presence that we might be strengthened and then go out to do his will. We worship that we might work. We rest that we might serve. We go to church and worship so that we will find the inspiration, the encouragement, the strength to go out into the world and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't come here just to enjoy the nice fellowship that we have with one another and the nice air-conditioned room and such as this. But we go to mature in the faith, to find new resources, new objectives to reach those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me finish with this. Number three, it is satisfy. The psalm closes. Look at verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, I don't think that this is saying to us that all Christians are going to live to be 100 years old. I really have no desire to be that old. I don't want to set any records. I've got enough pains and ills and weaknesses and failures and things like that to live on for the rest of my life, you know. I'm ready to go when God gets ready for me. So that long life, it's really not that appealing a presence when you get as old as Sam is. Amen. I'll talk about him for a while. Some of our choicest Christians die young. This long life, I believe, is referring more to the quality of our life than it is the quantity of it. Amen? It means a full and satisfying life. Because, you know, a person can live to be 100 years old and only exist if Christ is left out. That's all you're doing is existing. On the other hand, you can yield to Christ and you can put into 40 years half a dozen lifetimes of service and enjoyment in the Lord's work. There's a heart satisfaction that comes only to those who live under His wing. You'll have to pardon David. His ride is here and he has to go because I'm going overtime today. But I'm about to close. The place of satisfaction is the place of secrecy and the place where the presence of the Lord is. And when we link our lives with His, we find the kind of satisfaction that's worth living for and worth dying for. It's that deep, abiding peace and joy that can come only from our Lord Jesus Christ. So today, I would challenge you to leave, turn your back upon sin, turn your back upon the cheap, temporary trinkets that this world offers and enter into that secret place of the Most High under His wings. Accept His invitation. Receive the gift of everlasting life that He offers. And when you do this, you enter into a new kind of life, a life lived under the shadow of God in the secret place of safety and satisfaction. A life lived to the honor and glory of Christ. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your invitation to come into your presence, and we thank you for being in our presence today. For when we're gathered together like this, you've promised to be with us, and you've been with us. But as you have been with us, we can be with you. We can talk to you in prayer. We can receive your words of encouragement that will strengthen us for the trials that lie ahead from reading your word. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. And we thank you, Father, for the privilege to serve you. If there's one in this congregation today, and I'm sure that there are people here that have problems, we thank you that we can come to you with our problems and share our needs with you. And you will not only be sympathetic with us, but you will give us grace and strength and encouragement. That's what we need today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What's our number?
494.
Number 494. Let's sing a verse of this invitation today. Someone here may need to come.
If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart.
Will you come today?
If you desire a new life to begin,
let Jesus come into your heart.
Just now your doubts give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart.
Amen. I'm glad you came today. Good to see you. Oh, tonight we're going to be preaching a sermon about lion's food. You'll enjoy it. Come out at 6 o'clock and be with us in our service. And remember, next Sunday, Brother Irv Rifkin is going to be with us in our morning service.
Pastor,
One
other thing was there's going to be a meeting of all the members on after the service. The Bible study on Wednesday, just to discuss some of the changes that we were talking about as far as the
churches,
projects we were going to talk about.
Wednesday after the evening service, okay? So come out and be with us. All right. Yes, Barbara.
Can we sing happy anniversary?
Really?
70-year
anniversary.
Wow.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Nancy's getting the music for it right here. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. And we announced this morning that there's a page and a half in today's paper, San Diego Union, about them. And so you be sure and read it, and don't throw your paper away. Bring it to them after you read the article, okay? All right. Now, it's good to have Sandy and Mike down here with us, and they brought a little girl. She used to be a little girl, getting to be a big girl now. My great-granddaughter, Lainey Piper. And we're glad that she's here too with us today. And all of you, we're glad to have you. And I want to ask Mike, if he will, to lead us in our benediction this morning. God bless you.
Amen.